It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. President Trump says China will be buying more U.S. farm goods following his meeting with President Xi Jinping in Beijing last week.
Wisconsin farmers have been awaiting a potential trade agreement with China. It's the top export destination for soybeans and ginseng grown here.
President Trump told reporters on Air Force One that he reached a deal with China on soybeans.
The farmers are going to be very happy. They're going to be buying billions of dollars of soybeans, yeah.
But details of any potential trade deal with China haven't been made public yet.
We're checking in with Wisconsin farmers to find out how they've navigated Chinese tariffs and what they're hoping for in these trade negotiations.
Bob Kaldunsky is president of the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin and a ginseng farmer in Marathon County. And Matt Wagenson is vice president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and the North Central Soybean Research Program. He's a farmer in Outagamie County who grows soybeans and corn. We spoke on Friday as the U.S.-China summit was wrapping up. Matt, President Trump said after the meetings with Xi Jinping that China will be buying billions of dollars of soybeans. We haven't seen any concrete details yet. How much would you need China to buy to make a meaningful difference for Wisconsin soybean farmers?
Well, if they continue to stay with their commitment, that'll be a huge help. We're always looking to increase our free trade across the world, and China is just a crucial part of that free trade.
And can you describe the current commitment that you have that there is with China?
The 25 million metric tons that they are supposed to take, we're at 12 million metric tons now, which was a big help for us. But we definitely need an official sit down and see them hash out a deal, and Trump and Xi need to sit down and sign that and put it into force. And they're talking already, they're going to meet again in September, which is a little too close for harvest for us. But talking about meeting is better than not talking about meeting. Hmm.
25 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans in each of the next 3 years. Is that a lot of soybeans? Can you put that into context for us, for people who aren't in soybean fields?
So that's probably one row for every three rows that we grow. They used to buy two rows for every three rows that we grow. Yeah, it's a huge commitment, especially towards our friends west of us, the Dakotas, where they ship a lot of their stuff out the PNW. So it's a huge commitment.
Bob, turning to you in ginseng, as the trade war heated up, retaliatory Chinese tariffs on ginseng, they peaked at 117% in April last year. Wisconsin being number one in the U.S. for the production of ginseng, what have the ripple effects been like over the last year for you and other ginseng farmers?
Well, it's been hard on us. We've actually been hit with tariffs from 2018. Actually, we were there and our consultant group had told us that we were one of the first groups to get hit with a added 10% tariff. We always had a tariff. It was a small tariff at the time. So, and then it just escalated up to now where we're at 32.5%, which is quite high. Plus they have a value added tax they put onto it too. So it dropped our price in half from where we were 6 years ago. This last April, you referred to this 117%. Nothing happened. That just shut the market down. There was not going to be anything sold. And thankfully, that was only for approximately about a month, I believe, 5 weeks. And then it came back down. So they negotiated, or I guess both countries come to an agreement on more of a universal tariff. So it's been rough on our industry. Our industry is a little different than the commodities that are out there. When you talk about cultivated ginseng in the U.S., 98% of all ginseng that's exported from the United States comes out of Wisconsin, and it comes out of a very small area, Marathon County, and a little bit of surrounding area. So it's pretty unique just to one particular area, and it may not be a huge crop, you know, compared to your corn and soybeans, but for the growers and for the community here, it's a huge crop. It's a little bit different too. It's actually a traditional Chinese medicine, so a little different than your vegetable and your other commodities.
Can you explain just how important China is for this, for Wisconsin ginseng exports?
It's critical. China, ultimately, 65% of our crop goes directly to China. Another 15 to 20% gets carried back as gifts. Gifting is very important in their part of their culture. So when they come to the U.S., they bring gifts for their relatives. When they go home, they take gifts. And their number one choice is ginseng. And the reason ginseng is valuable, it's a health, and it's very sought after commodity there, or I say commodity, TCM, a medicine. And it's got great value. It shows great appreciation. So they will take home a lot of ginseng. So ultimately, 80 to 85% of our ginseng ends up in China, and that is our market. It's very critical, the China market.
Matt, turning back to you and your rows of soybeans, corn, it is planting season for you right now. You are very busy. Is the tariff situation in China for soybeans and corn affecting how much, you know, you're planting and what you're putting into the ground?
No, as farmers, we're more rotational and work with what works on our farm as opposed to chasing a nickel or a dime one way or the other. Hmm. We're fully half and half corn and soybeans, so we're not going to change because of how the tariffs are affecting us. We're going to do what's best for growing a crop on our farm.
I wonder as well, are you keeping an eye on the ethanol blend E15 and the bill circulating in Congress being able to sell that year round? Because, you know, that gasoline blend is made from corn-based fuel ethanol. Would that make a difference at all for planting?
Not necessarily planting, but for our checkbook, if we can become an end user of corn close to home, that's a great win for Wisconsin farmers and American farmers, where we can be E15, where Brazil is, you know, pushing E32, E35 with these higher gas prices. It's a good thing for farmers to have the E15 and have it done and have it and move on from it instead of it being seasonal and wishy-washy about it. To have it set in concrete and done is a huge win for farmers.
Okay, so you're keeping an eye on that as well.
Of course.
Yeah. Bob, turning back to you, with ginseng, you know, you mentioned tariffs going back to 2018. Have these trade wars at all had any type of positive impact or spinoff results that you weren't expecting?
At this point, no, not really, unfortunately. As I mentioned, you know, we produce or we export 98% of the ginseng out of the United States comes from Wisconsin here. Now, there is another region that is growing our brand of ginseng, I guess you could call it. Our ginseng, its genetic makeup is Panax quinquefolius, and Canada has taken that on. Also, I believe they've been growing for like 20 years. They've moved from out of the vegetable and more so the tobacco farms. Their government sponsored some programs for them to get into ginseng. So now, you know, we compete with Canada too. But the one thing about the Wisconsin ginseng, it's noted for our quality. It's called a bittersweet. And that's what the Chinese customer wants. Now, we're the next best to the wild ginseng. The other areas that grow the ginseng do not have that flavor. And what makes that flavor is our soil, our temperature. We get those warm days, cool nights. So that plant gets to grow, it respirates, it grows slower. Other regions grow it in a lighter soil, it grows a lot faster. So you don't get that same flavor. But, you know, to your question about what the tariffs have done, you know, we've been really looking outside the box. We've been working with other communities or in other countries, I should say, and looking into their market or working with them, doing a lot of trade missions, doing a lot of different promotions and things like that. And even within China, we've just been working harder, kind of looking at, you know, now they're doing food for medicine. So now there's we're doing a lot of things with festivals and cooking and stuff like that. And then also just to continue education there to let the people know that there is a big difference, and they know that, but just reinforce that. But then also to show them, you know, the value, the difference in the two ginsengs, you know, the actual medical differences that are in the, you know, medicine, or the quantities genocides that are in the root, that were the highest out there, and that's that flavor, and that's what's good for you. So, you know, things like that we're doing right now.
So a lot of education there. That is Wisconsin Ginseng Board President Bob Keldunsky. We have Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board Vice President Matt Wagenson talking about the impact the trade war with China is having on Wisconsin farmers, and President Trump wrapping up a summit in China. Matt, turning to you, we've seen the war in Iran drive up fertilizer prices. Has that pushed you toward growing more soybeans and corn? Although you talk a lot about staying on schedule with your rotations, what impact is fertilizer having on what you do?
So it's not going to impact me this year because we generally buy all of our inputs November to December of the year prior, correct? So, it's more looking forward to 27 and how that's going to affect us, and if it's going to change how much we fertilize, or we don't know. We have six, eight months to decide what we're going to do for fertilizer for the next coming season. Hopefully we can get things figured out between now and then. Fertilizer price has doubled. Thank goodness we are sitting where we're at with pre-bought things, fertilizer and fuel, but some guys aren't. But I think the majority of us farmers are pre-bought. So the pinch isn't going to be in 26, it's going to be in 27.
So you're pre-bought as well on fuel, you say?
We were, yes. So we have the ability to take, and for, you know, end of year purposes, we pre-buy fuel and pre-buy fertilizer and seed for the coming year. So that's how our farm operates. So yeah, so it's more of a 26, 27 problem right now.
You're set, you're stocked up for this season, but as you look ahead, you've got a big question mark then.
Correct, right, and hopefully we can get things figured out over there in the Strait, and things can settle down and we can get back to normal.
What would normal be for you with some of these input costs? Have you seen a big jump as you look ahead?
Yeah, I mean, fertilizer is up 50%. Fuel is up 50% easily. So, yeah, and with commodity prices at, you know, where they're at, that's tough. But if we can get free trade and get the fertilizer either through the Strait or make more at home, that's what I'd rather see, is make more here. And that's what they're trying to do through the Farm Bill, is get more fertilizer made in the States, so we're not so dependent on a hiccup or a war somewhere else in the world that it disrupts our way of life over here.
Some farmers in the Dakotas have talked recently about having to go to the bank to get some loans in order to pay for some of these input costs like fuel. You know, if these costs stay at these levels, what would you have to do on your farm?
I guess, you know, you get your pencil out and you do what you can. And we've had some profitable marketing opportunities in the last month for the 26 new crop, but you can't do it all because we're just getting it in the ground right now. We finished corn yesterday. We're starting soybeans today. So we are able to lock in some profitable measures, if not just break even measures. But you have to keep looking forward. If you get lost in your cash price, you have to keep ahead and look at how you can market that crop forward.
Bob, with ginseng, what are the input costs you're seeing? What should we know about there?
Well, as you mentioned, everything is up. We don't quite have the same types of inputs, although we do. Our crop protection this year was up anywhere from 15% to 25%. Labor's always an issue, and that's one thing that we need spring and summer than fall. Also, fall is the big season for the labor, and that's been harder to get. But that's been very difficult to keep in line because first for the people aren't there, but the other is it's seasonal, so it's difficult to find the help that you need, but that price has gone up. So, and our fertilizer, we're minimal. We do have fertilizers. We're more on organic, natural lines of fertilizer because all our roots, everything gets tested for residues. So we can meet MRLs of importing or exporting countries. So it's been difficult with the market that we've had, the low prices that we are receiving, and then, well, the profit, and then the cost of production is up, and it's been very difficult. So
I wonder, how have your yields been? I mean, you know, ginseng is a crop harvested in the fall, but have you had some good yields?
It really depends. Ginseng is a very finicky crop. It's in the ground for 4 to 5 years, depending upon how long you want to grow it. So you're not just dealing with one weather cycle, you're dealing with, you know, 3 or 4 weather cycles, and then the winters. So actually, we'd like a good cold winter. These warm-up winters, the rain are not the best for us. So, and then summer, you know, we like some moisture, typical farm, a little bit, you know, and not too much, and, you know, just right kind of a thing. It's but we've had regions or areas where they were just like this last spring here, we had just literally a few miles away at 8 inches of rain in 1 week, and that's way too much. So the yields have been, I guess, if I want to generalize, have been good. I wouldn't say excellent. They're just okay to good. And then you always have root quality. It'd be comparable to going to the grocery store and looking at fruit. Yeah. Nobody's going to buy a blemished fruit. So that's the thing that is difficult. So to predict until you harvest.
I want to land here on this optimism-pessimism meter. In just a few words, Bob, what level of optimism do you have for a potential trade deal for ginseng? Do you feel good right now? Mediocre, bad? What does that meter look like?
Actually, I'm quite optimistic right now. I've been president for going on 9 years now, and I think it's more optimistic now than I've been in the last 7 years. And part of that is, I do believe we actually have a consultant that told us that ginseng was talked about in the trade. Now, I'm not sure how they knew that, but they apparently said it was, because we had sent some information or letters to the USTR office, and they assured us that was going to get into the discussion.
Matt, your optimism-pessimism thermometer, what does it look like in soybeans?
I'm a farmer. I have to be optimistic. You got to, it's just the way it is. We put a lot of faith in a little seed. So yeah, China's a big country, and China needs to feed the machine, and we're part of the machine to feed them. So yeah, I'm optimistic.
Well, Matt and Bob, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
That is Matt Wagenson, Vice President of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, and Bob Keldunsky, President of the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin. They spoke on Friday about the impact the trade war with China is having on Wisconsin farmers as President Trump wrapped up a summit with China's leader Xi Jinping.